New Masterpiece Prime, Dark of the Moon figures on HTS, old toy finds, Transformers Prime, sick mind. This is Geek Existence Transformers.
Now all we need is a little Energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geek Existence Transformers.
I be your host, Big Leg Fearful, and with me be...
Spooky Grab at a Calamatron.
I was going to say, I remember when I first got into collecting.
Predacons, terrorize!
Greetings, fellow Transformer fans. You are listening to Geek Existence Transformers, episode number 25, recorded May 5th, 2011. We are your hosts, Weird Wolf and Insane Galvatron.
Mayday, mayday, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yay, happy Mexican Independence Day.
Yay, July 4th for us. Do they shoot fireworks?
I don't know. Maybe they...
Or they just all get drunk.
I don't know. That's right. Being generalistic.
Well, no, I just know there's like a lot of parties and lots of people getting drunk on, you know, Cinco de Mayo. It's like a big party day. Everybody goes to the bar, you get drunk, you get wasted, and do things you'll regret tomorrow, and then not regret it tomorrow.
Not remember it tomorrow. Did you eat the worm at the bottom of the bottle of the tequila?
If you didn't, you didn't do it right.
You're doing it wrong.
Fail.
How many memes can we fit into this little segment here?
I don't know.
Let me Google that for you. Let me Google that for you. Here we are once again for another episode of Geek Existence Transformers. It's we're still working on the website. We have the backup of the database, as I mentioned last week, but it's very difficult to pick out individual threads and restore them when the rest of the threads are there. And the file is quite large. So whenever Batosa and I tried to upload the file, it kind of overloaded the server a little bit. So probably what we're going to wind up doing is just going back and the podcast links that are missing, we'll just throw those in there, and the outlines, just let them go, because I really don't have time to go back and retype them all. It's just easier just to do it this way, but they will be back. We're still working on it. Last week's episode, I was able to get it up today, and it is live as we are recording this, so go check it out.
Time now for our
eBay item of the week.
All right, our eBay item of the week this week is a special one, kind of relevant to one of the things we spoke about last week. Everybody was getting their Fans Project Blesser in. For those of you who didn't listen to last week's podcast or are unaware, Blesser was available to those people who donated $15 or more to the Japanese Earthquake Relief Fund, whether it be through the Red Cross or another charity organization. If you submitted it, a copy of the receipt or a screenshot of the receipt to Fans Project, they would send you a limited edition Blesser figure. It was basically a recolor of the sidearm.
Yeah, it was actually the inverted colors. It was like all the colors, the inverted sidearm, just reverse them.
With a blue face. And the piece was limited to 1,500 pieces, so the first 1,500 people that submitted their receipts with as proof of donation, then Fans Project sent them a Blesser for free. They asked that no one actually resell these figures because, it's for a charity organization. It's for charity, and they didn't want people to make money off of its rarity because of the Earthquake Relief Fund. Well, this auction here...
I don't think they would mind this auction.
I don't think they would mind it either, no. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, but it's Altitron. has 100% positive feedback, and he has down here the very top line of the listing. It says 100% of the final sale price will support the Japan Earthquake and Tsunami Relief Fund, a global giving project. I guess eBay has a thing set up to where if you want to list a charity auction, when the people make their payment, they don't actually make it to the seller. They make the payment, and it goes straight to the charity. And that's how this guy listed it. You know, he put it up here for sale at auction, and, you know, has it as a charity auction. So this was, I think, if you didn't want to keep this figure, this is the best way to sell it, in my opinion.
The only way to sell it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the morals and ethics debates on that, you know. But, you know, because it gets pretty messy on a couple message boards, because there's another auction that's not for charity, and, boy, you don't want to go into discussion threads on those. Talk about racking your brain against the walls. But this is, I mean, a great thing, because the figure was obtained by making a donation to charity. And then for anybody who missed out on one and wanted one, well, now you can buy one, and it will still be obtained by making a donation to charity. So it's like Blesser is giving doubly. You know, $15 went to the charity for him the first time, and as of right now, $120.50 more will go to the charity. You know, so this one figure has made, you know, $135 worth of donations to the charity. So that's pretty awesome.
And it still has 3 days left in the auction, and there's been almost 20 bids. There's been 19 bids to the auction already, so that's a good sign. It could go even higher. And since it's for 100% for a charity, I think this is a stand-up thing to do. You know, I mean, he's not making money off of this. You know, I mean, like you said, if a fan wants this figure, I mean, it's already sold out. You can't get any more. This is the only way to get one. And while you're doing it, you're also helping a charity. So, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You can't ask for more than that.
Like I said, even though, you know, Fans Projects ask that nobody sell these, like I said, I think with these circumstances, given that they gave the figure away for, you know, the charity to get money, and this guy's basically doing the same. I mean, he's selling it in a charity auction, but he's pretty much giving it away for a charitable donation. So, it's, you know, he's doing the same thing Fans Projects did, so I doubt they would have a problem with it.
Yeah, does he say in there if he's going to send the card with it? Where does it?
That I'm not sure.
Well, it's never been taken out of the package he came in.
Okay, he's just using, I guess, a stock image that somebody else took.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you'll get the card with this guy's name on it, apparently. Unless he just put in a fake name or something so they have something, you know, weird on there. But I just noticed that was the very top line of the auction, but you get down to the part where he actually typed it in. It wasn't auto-filled by the computer. The listing process, he says 100% of the proceeds of this auction will be donated to the Japanese Red Cross to aid in earthquake and tsunami disaster relief efforts there. I will also match the winning bid and donate that amount to the Japanese Red Cross from my personal funds. So not only is the amount the auction goes for going to go to charity, but he's going to match it himself on top of the $15 he's already given to get the figure.
Wow, what if this thing goes to like $500? That...
I mean,
I don't see it, but, I mean...
I'm sure he's probably... I mean, he may not put it in the auction listing, but I'm sure he's got a... I mean, unless he just has that much money, but I know if I didn't, say I didn't expect it to go that high, I would have a personal limit. Like, okay, here's the most I can afford to give. If it goes that any higher than that, that's all I'm giving. And I wouldn't look down on the guy if he did that. I mean, he's already... Just the fact that this is 100% charity and he's willing to match any amount of it, I think is pretty stand-up. You couldn't fault him if it went for $500 and he could only match $250. Or even just 100, I couldn't fault him for that.
No. Did you mention the item number on that?
No, the item number is 2508-1190-9105.
The item location is Silverdale, Washington, here in the United States, and he accepts PayPal. So if you want to continue to aid the Japanese relief for the earthquake and the Tsunami Relief Fund, this is an awesome way to do it, and you'll get a cool little figure. I mean, it is small, but it's still cool, and it's very rare. So,
yeah, and just because we're not seeing the, you know, Japanese earthquake and tsunami stuff in the news anymore doesn't mean everything's back to normal over there. It's still pretty much like a war zone. They still need the help. It's just, you know, the media has moved on to the next big thing. But yeah, don't be mistaken because you're not hearing about it that it doesn't. They don't still need the help. They do.
Now it's time for
Out My Wallet.
Okay, this week my wallet said ouch, but not to the degree it has in, you know, weeks past. But anytime I spend money, it's ouch. Didn't get a whole lot. Got a whole lot of small things. I guess first thing I want to mention, we mentioned that we bought these Scouts from Hasbro Toy Shop to get the Wind Charger. Well, mine came in 2 days ago. So I now have 6 new Scouts, only one of which that I wanted, another that I will keep just because it's kind of rare, and then 4 I'm going to try to unload. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with them yet. I may just kitbash them. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, sorry, I was being distracted there. I'm sure you're going to edit this out. So that's why I got the Scouts. Something else I decided to pick up. I was looking at some pictures in a Cool Stuff thread on TFW, where, you know, it's a photography thread, and somebody posted a picture of Beast Wars Pterosaur sitting on Short Round in his fan mode toilet mode.
Well, yes. there is a fan made name for that mode, but I'm not.
Yeah, it's Short Round, but you change the short to something else that you would do in a toilet. I personally do not prefer to use that name. I just call it toilet bowl. It's a toilet mode. So anyway, I decided, you know, I had a Short Round a while back. I sold him several years ago. I think it was back in 2008. And I was looking at that picture, and I was like, you know what? Of all the toys I sold, even though it's not that great of a toy in and of itself, just the fact that you can turn it into a toilet, I should have kept it. So I hit eBay and got Storm Surge, which was the Target exclusive repaint, and I paid a whopping $3 for it.
That's a steal.
Yeah, that was a pretty good price. It was, nobody else bid on, and it was mint on sealed card. It wasn't even open for $3. So that came, actually just arrived today. I just opened it a few moments ago. It was waiting on me when I got home. And I also had one other package waiting on me when I got home. This one was from TF Source. I decided that, you know, my Blesser and my sidearm needed some companions. So I picked up another sidearm. So I now have 2 sidearms and a Blesser. Not sure why I need 3, but I have them. It was more of an impulse buy, just padding out the cart. Because what I really went there to order was the Junkyard Blacksmith Headmasters that they make. I don't think they call them Headmasters. But I picked up one of each. They also had the black recolors of both, but I decided to pass on those because I couldn't think of any practical application for them. But I picked up the Tactical Officer, who is basically a little small sound wave that turns into a Headmaster, and Justice Leader, who's the little Optimus Prime. Now, what's great, they don't just turn into heads. They also turn into their alt modes. So I've got a little... I mean, he's Headmaster, Targetmaster-sized Optimus Prime that turns into a truck and also turns into a large Optimus Prime head. And it comes with a little adapter so that you can attach the Optimus Prime head to Power Master Prime.
So essentially, they're little Headmaster triple changers.
Yes, and they are awesome. They're like $18 a piece, but they're worth it. I especially like the idea of turning him into the head to put on Power Master Prime, so he's now a Power Headmaster. It's actually got me kind of wanting to pick up the TF, because TF Club makes these. They also made the Targetroids. It's kind of got me wanting to pick up the little Prime Targetroid, which I think they call him Optimax Prime or something, just so that my Power Master Prime can be Power Head Target Master. The thing is, I'm going to need a new Power Master that looks like Optimus Prime too, because that high Q won't cut it anymore if all the other Masters look like little versions of Optimus Prime. Not sure what I'm going to do with the Soundwave one yet. He's neat, and he looks cool. Turns, you know, into a little tape deck, which I guess I could put him in some, you know, let Transformers hold him as a boombox. But I'm not sure what I'll do with his head mode, though.
Will he fit inside of Soundwave's chest or Sound Blaster's chest in his tape deck mode?
If you went with the ones that would hold 2 tapes, he's not a perfect fit because he's not the exact proportions, but he looks like he would be about the right width to stick in there, but he's too thick to go in a single tape version. You'd have to have either a twin cast or a Sound Blaster. But yeah, it would fit in one of those. Or I think the
Sound Wave inside of Sound Russian stacking dolls here.
Oh yeah. Of course, you had the world's smallest Sound Wave, who was even smaller than this guy. Too bad that this guy doesn't have an opening chest to put that Sound Wave in.
Hmm.
But anyway, I got those, and, you know, that's pretty much it for me this week. Like I said, didn't get a whole lot of stuff, but everything I got was little. You know, scouts and headmasters and target masters.
Well, I kind of didn't spend money this week. I spent money, well, one of these I actually bought, I think it was week before last, and then the other set, or the other thing that I got, I actually paid for it maybe about a month ago, a little longer, but I just now got it in. The first thing I got, like you, I went to the club store and picked up the case assortment of the Reveal the Shield Scouts that contained Windcharger. I got the one that has a chop saw in it as well, and I think I'm going to hold on to chop saw and keep him sealed, even though because I already have his first color brimstone. Mm-hmm. I have him already opened up, so I really don't need another brimstone mold. But since he's going to be probably going to be rare, I'm just going to hold on to this one, keep it sealed.
Yeah, he'll be as rare as Windcharger. Maybe not quite as sought after, but as far as the amount in existence, it'll be pretty low.
Yeah. Well, I remember there for a long time, Battle Unicorn back in Beast Machines was pretty hard to come by as well. It got so bad that people were wanting it so badly, even though it wasn't a repaint, Big Bad Toy Store got their own run to sell exclusively on the store, and they never did sell out of them, I don't think. It took a very long time for him to. But anyway, Windcharger, I finally have him. Didn't pay like these scalper prices that are on eBay for him, and I'm kind of glad because he's cool, but he's not $80 cool. I really, really like his alt mode. It's kind of like a Mustang Dodge Charger hybrid looking car, but in robot mode. Dude, I mean, he's even got the beams that come out of his wrists and stuff. That's awesome. And he's like super poseable too.
I wish his head had been bigger because I love that head sculpt. I think it would have been perfect to make like a Motor Master custom, but it's just too little.
Yeah. Well, he's got like super poseability. The only thing, he's not got like breacher poseability, but I wish he could like turn at the knees. It's just more or less a swivel that he has down there, or a couple swivel hinges. But all in all, though, he is like a really impressive basic. So glad to have him. I love him to death. And I got that set from the Collector Club. I'm not sure. Do they still have some left on the club store? Are they?
I think
sold out?
So. I think the reason they haven't sold out faster than they have is for most people who want a Windcharger, this is a good way to get it. I mean, you got to buy a six pack, but you get six toys. So essentially, it costs us $60 to get these six scouts. So it's about $10, which is a good price for Windcharger. But a lot of people who, if you're not already a club member, you got to join the club to get them at that price or pay the inflated price, which is as much as that with a club membership. And for a lot of people, it's like they don't want Windcharger bad enough to pay $100. So I don't think they've sold out.
A lot of the people that are already club members probably already have Windcharger too. So
yeah, they're probably hardcore enough to get it from the UK or Canada.
Yeah,
you know, like I got my two.
But the other thing that I got the eHobby United Autobot set, the one that comes with the blue, clear blue hot rod. Actually, you know, if you hold him up to the light, he's more of a almost
a
seafoam green. Yeah. Certain lights, he does look blue, but he's really awesome in his translucent glory. Really love this. I love this mold to begin with, and just having it in translucent plastic is really cool. The cup that comes with him, I haven't even transformed it yet. They come in vehicle mode. I've got my Generations cup in robot mode, and I've got my United Autobot 3-pack cup in truck mode. And the green or the teal on him is more of a G1 color scheme. than the Generations version. He's got the lighter shade teal for like his feet and the thighs. And he has some little silver paint swipes across his body and some of the edges for some battle damage. I could really do without that, but all in all, it still looks really nice. And the sole reason I got this Autobot set is the Junkion Scrap Heap, which is a slight retool of Reveal the Shield Retgar.
I'm so jelly. I want that toy so bad.
Yeah. He is, like, really awesome. To be honest, I haven't even transformed him into robot mode yet either.
Retgar, he has a different head, right?
Well, you can turn the figure upside down and see the head, and the head is very different from Retgar, and it looks really cool. And just feeling the construction of it, to be honest, I can't tell much of a difference in the US Retgar, but you know, I'm sure there are some minor differences, but I'm just not expert enough to really spot them. But he serves his purpose. Now I have a Retgar that can ride a Retgar, and I'm very happy now, and I don't have to go hunting at BotCon. There are some things that came up, and I won't be able to have as much money as I had planned at BotCon. I'm still going to have quite a bit to spend. But
dealers, you know, remember that voice. So when you hear him speaking at the booth, you know he's got plenty of money to spend, and you don't have to negotiate. So
No.
You don't ever tell potential dealers that you've got plenty of money to spend, because they
I'm going to have plenty of money to spend compared to what I had last year.
Oh, okay.
But last year I think I might have had 350, 400 tops, and I spent almost that entire wad on just Scorponok and Trypticon, and
I wound up.
Huh?
I bought a GoBot.
Yeah.
You know, back in my day, we used to walk 20 miles down to Toys R Us to buy our toys. Then we had to walk 28 miles back in the snow. Now, you never know just where you might find a hidden toy gem. It could be at a yard sale, in the attic, at an old friend's house.
But speaking of GoBots, we'll move on to our little sub-segment here. What are you sending me here?
It's the link to Battle Unicorn. He is sold out, and they mark him down from $14.99 to $12.99 to get rid of him.
Well, I kind of figured he was sold out. I mean, it's been, 10 years ago that they
got them. Darn, I know. I should have bought one. I waited too late.
I actually had two of them. I had one that I actually found in stores, but... I bought another one from Hasbro Toys, or not Hasbro Toy Shop, but BBTS, thinking that he was going to be really worth something since he was so rare. And, well, like you said, it took him quite a while to sell out. But anyway, as I was saying, about 6 years ago, lady and her husband from church, they knew that I collect Transformers. And they approached me and said that they had some toys from their son that were in their either the garage or their attic. I can't remember which one. But they were just in the way, and she wanted me to take them. She was actually going to give them to me. I just glanced in the box. I didn't see everything that was in there, but just I'm like, I've got to give you something for these. I mean, it's just not fair to take them for free. And she says, well, whatever you think's fair, but you can really just have them. I gave her $50, and it was really, in a way, ripping her off. But at the same time...
It was $50 more than she wanted for it.
Yeah, $50 more than she wanted for it. That's the way I was looking at it. And we got quite a haul from what I recall. You got a Metroplex, Superion, and a number of things. Yeah, we split it up because there was a lot of it that I already had at the time.
Yeah, you pretty much got first dibs, and then anything you already had, you gave me. It's like you picked out what you wanted, stuff you didn't have, and then stuff you did have that was duplicates, you just kind of left it on a pile, and I showed up at your apartment, and you had it all spread out on the floor, and like, okay, whatever this that you don't have, it's yours. And I made up.
Now you got to understand, she gave this to me. It wasn't in a box or anything. It was like a bunch of toys thrown into a garbage bag. I mean, a really big garbage bag. It was a double-plied garbage bag. And, it took Greg and I maybe an hour or two to just kind of sit on the floor, dump everything out, part it together. And a lot of it was in really, really good shape. I mean, it just looked like it had been barely played with and thrown down in this bag and then thrown in the garage and forgotten. But some of it, had seen better days. But for the most part, they were in really good shape. After sifting through it and getting out all the transformer parts and transformers that we could discern out of it, I pretty much just took the bag and set it down in a box and forgot about it. And there's been a couple times I've got it out and kind of went through it. And one time I actually found a complete ram horn in it, a G1 ram horn. I'm like, oh, wow, how did we miss this? And it's like, I mean, I'd had it for years.
Well, we had and, combiner and CityBot overload, yeah, and our sensors just couldn't take it anymore.
I kind of got the bag out again this afternoon. I've been off all day, and I got the bag out of the closet and just kind of dumped it out on the table here in front of my computer and just started sifting through it. And one of the large items that was just right there on top really caught my eye. And I'm like, that really looks like a mask figure. I mean, it was in really good shape, too. And I turned it upside down, and sure enough, it had a Kenner stamp date on it. And so I went on the internet and Googled it and found out that it was the Mask Vehicle Stinger. And the only thing it is missing is one missile and the driver and the mask that goes with it. Other than that, it's complete, and the chrome is in super condition. The stickers are in really good condition. Looks like it had been played with maybe about a month or so, and that's it. And I'm like, well, what else is in here? I sifting through it, I found a GoBot. I didn't know it, but I had a GoBot, a rather popular GoBot. Now, he's seen better days. I know that's a cliche now, but it's really true. I mean, his chrome is really, really black, and he's really floppy and loose here. And he does not have his blades, but I have a GoBot Copter.
That's and, awesome.
Yeah, so I can honestly say I have GoBot Copter. And last but not least, I found in there it was an odd-looking car. I thought it was just a car, and then I flipped it over, and I'm like, hey, this thing transforms. And I transformed it, and I'm like, this, he kind of looks like the a GoBot on the order of Baron Von Joy. I know one of your favorites from the mm-hmm. GoBot line. I looked him up, and this is Super GoBot Psycho, I believe is what the name of it was, and it was a member of the Machine Robo line. He's actually kind of cool. He's got ratcheting arms. The chrome is still in really good condition. He's got a few little paint scratches and chips and stuff, of course, from being in that bag for so many years.
This isn't a very popular thing to say, especially when it comes to Transformers. But some of those Super GoBots, aside from having the vehicle cockpit for a head, if they'd had actual heads, some of them would have been better than the G1 Transformers they were competing against. And
yeah,
I think that's a prime example, just the build quality and, like I said, the ratcheting arms.
Well, he's got die-cast metal on him. And aside from the canopy being missing, if there was a canopy, I assume there was, on the top of the head, he's in really good condition. But, you know, I'm like, wow, this really great find that I just found in a garbage bag laying in my closet that had been there for 6 years. So, yeah, old toy finds. You never know what you'll find going through your old closet stuff that you may have forgotten or not even really looked through it. And, you know, it brings up another thing. You know, check out Craigslist and talk to people that you're acquainted with. Maybe they have no interest whatsoever in the toys that they grew up with, and they know they still have them. Some people are willing to either give them to you to get rid of them or sell them to you for a small profit. You know, you never know what you might get. I know Greg and I, we got a really nice find whenever it came to this. And, you know, it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. I've still yet to find one of those deals. I mean, that was kind of through you, but I've yet to run into somebody that's like, oh, hey, I've got a bunch of my old Transformers from as a kid.
Well, there's been a couple people at my workplace that's mentioned, you know, hey, you still collect Transformers? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I still got a few in my garage. You interested in them? And I'm like, yeah, you know, you want to get together? And I'll look at them. And they're like, sure. And they just, like, never really get back to me on that, you know. And even if I ask them, you know, again, you know, let's get together and look at those toys, they're like, well, I don't have time right now. I'll get back with you whenever I do have time. I guess they kind of stop and think, you know, hey, I'm not going to pay them a whole lot for these toys. So they're probably going to think, hey, you know, I'm going to sell them on eBay and get a lot of prices, good prices out of them. So.
Well, I did have something almost, I mean, like that, where people would say it and it never follow through. One of the guys on my route mentioned that he had, his brother had a bunch of Transformers, and he was pretty sure they were just in his mom's basement, and the brother didn't really care about them anymore. And when he went home for Thanksgiving a couple years ago, he told me that when he went home, he was going to, you know, go in the basement, and if he could find them, he was going to bring them back, and he would sell me, you know, whatever was in the box for like $100. It was basically a gamble. I mean, it could have been a box of junk, or there could have been some really good stuff in there. But I kind of told him, I'll take a chance. It's like playing lottery. You know, you bring me back. He talked like he had a lot of them. I'm like, okay, well
if you have some junkers in there, people's willing to buy junkers too.
Yeah, or they're even just parts and accessories. But I mean, yeah. You know, basically the idea was he said that, you know, his brother had a lot. I'm like, well, if it's as many as you say it is, I'll give you $100 for all of it. And so he was going to do it because he knew his brother didn't care about him anymore, and he really don't care about Transformers, you know, and he was going to do it for the $100. And so after Thanksgiving, next time I saw him, he said he couldn't, you know, he went down to the basement for a few minutes, but it was basically, you know, like a jungle down there. And, you know, he didn't have that much time to, you know, it would have taken him a whole weekend to go through the entire basement to try to find him. And, you know, of course, he was there for Thanksgiving with the family, so... He looked for him for a few minutes, you know, had no luck, and then gave up, and that was it.
Well, I mean, if he'd stopped and thought, hey, I'm going to get $100 if I get these, you know, it might have been a little more incentive for him. But, you know, I mean,
well, he said he wanted to spend time with family. You know, he was there to spend time with family. He didn't want to spend the whole weekend in the basement, even for $100.
That's true. But, I mean, you know, if people are offering to give them to you, I mean, it's only fair, especially seeing as how some of these things have a lot of value. On the secondary market, but it's obvious that that some people just don't, you know, have time or the knowledge or the interest to go through, part them out, and say, hey, you know, let's put them up on eBay and see what we can get from them. I know a local comic book shop owner, he goes through me to come over and identify his Transformers. He asked me, you know, if I ever need anybody to come identify Transformers, would you mind if I call you up? And I said, sure, you know, I'll be happy to. Just give me first crack. That's all I ask. And
it's kind of like the deal I have with the comic book guy in Lexington.
Yeah, and you know, that's how I scored that Dead Mint Jetfire here a while back. You know, so I mean, he knew that was Jetfire. He didn't know that it was not complete. You know, it's missing the gun clip. He had so many other things. It like this lady from church, it was all just thrown down in a bag, and all the parts were down in there. He didn't know what part went with what. So I kind of helped him out there, and it's like one of those, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and you know, I helped him part that stuff out so he could at least list it on eBay and get the premium amount for it. Otherwise, he'd sell it on eBay, possibly missing parts, and not get the prime price. So, I mean, if you can work out deals like that, it's always really cool. So if you're in the market for vintage toys, be talking to your acquaintances. You never know what you might find.
Especially with Transformers, because they were such a popular toy line back in the 80s that a lot of people have them in closets and things that they've just forgotten about.
Reporting directly from HyperCon, this is the Cybertron News Network.
Well, perusing around Facebook, I was on this morning and I noticed that Master Shooter Collectibles Megagun has been video reviewed by TFW 2005 member Piaw. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But,
I've heard some people say Pogue, but I've always thought it was Piaw.
Yeah, it's P-E-A-U-G-H. And Captured Prey, the company that is carrying the Master Shooter Megagun exclusively for sale online, they mentioned that Piaw had been sent sent a test shot, I would assume, to Piaw, because they mentioned that they had one, and now Piaw has a test shot, and he reviewed it, and he says it is awesome. And if you haven't seen the review, go to YouTube and search for P-E-A-U-G-H and look for the video test shot review of Megagun. It looks really cool. Now, I mean, pictures are one thing, but to see this thing actually being transformed is another. I cannot wait now to have this thing in my hands. I mean, I've got mine pre-ordered through Captured Prey, and it looks really awesome.
Yeah, it does look pretty good. You know, especially with like Starscream holding it. I mean, I think the gun mode, again, that's what wows me about the thing, is it actually has a good gun mode. It, you know, it doesn't just look like a robot folded in half, and it also, you know, does look like a robot doing the splits. I mean, it actually looks like, you know, Megatron's gun mode, and that's what impresses me about it.
Yeah, and well, it's obvious that PR was really impressed by it too. So I think these things are going to sell like hotcakes once they hit the market. Also mentioned about a week or two back by Captured Prey, they had received a solicitation for a new Masterpiece mold, MP10. A lot of speculation as to what this new mold was going to be. I know
I
we talked about it.
Originally, yeah, wasn't it originally just, it was just said new?
Yeah, it just said new, and a lot of people were speculating, well, maybe it's going to be Galvatron or you know, something like that, or Ultra Magnus. I know you and I talked about it here on the podcast, and thought maybe
either Power Master Prime or Ultra Magnus or something of that sort.
Yeah, it would be really cool if it was one of those two, and it still may be, but we did find out that it will be a new Optimus Prime mold. A new Masterpiece Optimus Prime mold will come with a trailer and I'm assuming roller. Is that what I'm understanding right?
It seems like I remember reading that, as well as a human partner that can sit in the seat.
Maybe a Spike or a spark plug.
Well, that's where, you know, it could either be Spike or spark plug, or if there's any truth to the possibility that it could be, you know,
Power Master Prime,
that could be like the HiQ/Genra figure.
That would be really cool. Well, you know, that might fit even better, especially since these are mainly marketed toward the Japanese market. A lot of people may forget that, but these are aimed at the Japanese market initially. And if you aim it there, Genrai was pretty popular in their series, was he not?
Yeah, he was. I think, the Japanese, when you think of the Japanese Transformers, you think more of like a Star Saber. I think he was probably a little bigger in the Japanese series. But, you know, Genra was the Optimus Prime-looking, you know, leader that they had after Rodimus and before, Star Saber. So, yeah, I mean, I like Genra. I don't know how popular he was in Japan, but I know in the U.S. he was really popular because he was the first Prime toy after Prime was, you know, resurrected at the end of the series. So I think it could be a double win. The only thing that would be strange about them doing it as Genra is the fact that they're soliciting it as a new convoy mold. In Japan, Genra was not convoy. You know, he was Genra. He was a completely different character. That's the only thing that would throw a monkey wrench into that possibility, is that the names just don't match up for Japan.
Yeah, that's true. I totally forgot about that. But, you know, there's still some speculation surrounding this, but it has been unveiled that it will be a new Masterpiece Prime mold. So we're going to keep our eyes on this. It's due out toward the end of this year. So I would assume we're going to see new pictures of this probably around BotCon time, I would assume.
Yeah, I thought I saw somewhere that it was going to be released around September, so it's not that far off.
Yes, I'd say BotCon is realistic for seeing pictures of it. Takara may even have a test shot of it there. You never know.
Well, I would think if it's not going to be Genra for the Power Master Prime, then if it's just a straight-up G1 Optimus Prime with a G1 trailer, I can't see them really redesigning Optimus Prime unless they were also planning to do it so they could give him the Ultra Magnus trailer later. You know, whole new cabs, give him a G1 Prime trailer, and then the next release, you leave out the G1 Prime trailer and give him an Ultra Magnus trailer.
That would be totally awesome. And give the figure a lot more life. Because, I mean, how many repaints would that unveil? I mean, you'd have the powered convoy and the Ultra Magnus, and I mean, it just there's at least four or five repaints I could think of right off the top of my head, just using two different trailers in the same Prime mold.
Right. It's not like with the first one where they could pretty much just do Prime and then the Ultra Magnus without the armor is just a white Prime, and then they could give you like the Nemesis Prime, which is just basically excuse
Black Optimus Prime. Yeah.
And then you have the dead Optimus Prime, which was, you know, the sleep convoy, which was just basically another Black Optimus Prime. Yeah, there's, you know, they're kind of limited in what they can do with just Prime, but if they design it to where he can use multiple different trailers, you know, and hey, if they design it right, you know, not only could he be a G1 Optimus Prime now and then Ultra Magnus later, they could introduce a third trailer and make Genra later.
Mm-hmm. That's totally possible, and that would be really cool. Well, moving on, Dark of the Moon figures have been showing up on Hasbro Toy Shop today and available for people to actually order them before they actually hit brick-and-mortar stores. And believe it or not, a couple of them, as of this recording, have already sold out. Sentinel Prime and Skyhammer have sold out. It's possible that Megatron's even sold out, too, I believe.
Yeah, Voyager Megatron. When I checked today, Voyager Megatron and the Human Alliance NASCAR, the green one, I don't remember their names. Those were both sold out when I checked earlier today around 4:30 Eastern time. So, yeah, I'm surprised to see movie toys that are going to be pretty easily available on store shelves. I mean, let's face it, it's movie toys. These are the reasons why we can't find Reveal the Shield stuff, because retailers are waiting to order movie toys. I don't think there's going to be shortages of movie toys, people. But yet... I don't know. People are still buying them up anyway.
Well,
and
I think there was code that people were using. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It was Cinco de Mayo. Today had free shipping on anything you order, and there was like a discount code for 10% off. So yeah, you might be saving a couple of bucks. But you know, it says they're not going to ship until around the end of May. The official release date for this merchandise is May 16th. So you've got like 2 weeks from the time the toys hit the shelves and brick and mortars until these things are going to ship. And, you know, you may find them in person. Yeah, like I said, you're going to pay a dollar or two more because you don't get that little discount, but, you know, you're getting them 2 weeks earlier. So, and it's just a couple bucks. If they were like half price, I could see going hog wild, but, you know, or if it was something hard to get like a wind charger or a grapple, but it's movie toys.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a handful that I'm even remotely interested in. You know, I definitely want Sentinel Prime. I want the Prime with the trailer, the one that's probably going to be about $80. I'll probably pick up the clean NASCAR. I think that's the Deluxe Roadbuster, the Amp car. I'm trying to think. Skyhammer looks interesting to me as well, but there's not much else unless it's a G1 homage, or you know, like that, like we would find in Generations or Hunt for Decepticons or Reveal the Shield. The name was escaping me there for a second, but Reveal the Shield. If they kind of squeeze those into the Dark of the Moon toy line, I'll pick those up.
And I think they will. We've already seen them. They're giving us the Scout Warpath.
Not Warpath.
Or Power Glide. Power Glide. Mm-hmm. And then we've seen solicitations for Japanese releases, but I'm sure they're going to get American releases too, of like Vortex and I think Air Raid. And there was a couple where they, you know, like the Tomahawk repaint.
Ooh,
was going to be
Air Raid. Who was going to be Air Raid?
Oh, it was the mold that was repainted as Thrust. I think it might have been even the first movie line. It was the jet where his head's in the cockpit. He looks like he's got kind of a hunchback.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not a real good mold, but.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but it's a movie toy repainted, but they're giving us Tomahawk, who was in Hunt for the Decepticons, and a very classic-y feeling toy. It's going to be, you know, it's Vortex, at least in Japan. I'm hoping we get that in the U.S. as well. I think I would
buy that.
Yeah, so, I mean, we know we've got evidence that they're going to give us some Generations figures in Dark of the Moon. You know, Hasbro knows what the collectors like, and they know this stuff is selling like hotcakes, and, you know, online they sell out almost instantly when they hit. You know, brick and mortar, I mean, Generations figures are going through their waves pretty well in the stores. So I think Hasbro's aware of that. They know that we like that stuff. They know it's going to sell. They're going to squeeze it in there.
Yeah. That's the only way I would actually pick up any other Dark of the Moon, unless there's some figures that I really, really like from the movie, some characters, but I don't plan on it. I'm kind of hoping that this will be another one of those lines where I don't want much from it, so I'm not out in the store searching for some of these toys and spending money. Yeah, save money and spend that money on vintage Transformers that I want. Or I'm really wanting to make this Christmas kind of special. I know my mom's wanting an iPad after having played with mine, and I'd like to get her an iPad for Christmas. So, you know, it might help me save up for that as well. So,
yeah, as far as I'm concerned with the movie toys, I definitely want the Megatron. Again, I like trucks. I want the basic, or not the basic, but the deluxe size Prime, only because I have him in every other size class. And, you know, I may pick up a NASCAR, but I want a Human Alliance clean race car. The one that's sold out that's in the first wave is, you know, it's the Mountain Dew Amp car, but it's with the guns and everything sticking out all over the place. And, that looks cool, but I used to be a huge NASCAR fan. I was a big Dale Earnhardt fan. And I want a clean race car in approximately 1/24th scale so I can repaint it as, you know, caught the Intimidator. And I wait. So that one, although it looks cool, I want the clean race car. Because, you know, that way I can get water slide decals and paint it up. So, hopefully they release one. I'm sure there's going to be at least two in the Human Alliance line, I've heard. But I don't know if they're going to be clean or with guns all over. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, let's end the normal discussion right now and move on into Transformers Prime. We are now entering the Transformers Prime episode discussion area. If you haven't seen the latest episode, then be forewarned that you may be spoiled by listening further. All right, Transformers Prime episode Sick Mind. This episode was kind of skipped over a couple weeks back. They replayed the episode Convoy, but we finally got to see this episode last week, and I must say it is one of the most awesome episodes that we've seen to date. I know that's becoming cliche as well, because it seems like every episode of Prime keeps getting better and better and better, but this episode was indeed awesome.
It was good. I don't know if I liked it better than Predatory, but it was definitely a good episode. You know, I really wish they would let Bumblebee talk. The whole beeping thing is getting annoying. But this was a good Bumblebee episode. And even with just the beeping, they did a pretty good job through his facial expressions and his body movements. You know, they did a good job of conveying what he was trying to say. And so it wasn't that bad, but I'd still like to hear him actually talk. But yeah, this episode also wasn't what I was expecting. I guess we'll start by the previews we saw leading up to it. You know, okay, Sick Mind, what's it going to be about? And then we see previews that Optimus Prime is caught the Cybonic Plague. And so he's sick. And I'm like, okay, so they call it Sick Mind, but it's just Optimus Prime being sick. I had no idea exactly, you know, what that was going to entail, how it was going to work. You know, or what's it going to do with the mind? It's just Optimus Prime being sick. And, of course, then the episode starts. You know, we see the Autobots are scanning different signal waves, and, you know, they pick up the Decepticon shield frequency, so they can actually locate the Decepticon ship, which was kind of an unusual thing they didn't expect to do, which we later find out there was a malfunction in the ship causing it to be detectable on that certain frequency, and they were, you know, the Decepticons were hoping to get it fixed before the Autobots detected them, which they thought would be unlikely unless they were scanning through different frequencies, which just so happened they were. But then in the process, they discovered another ship, an old Autobot distress signal. And so they go, and it's a crashed ship, and they're hoping maybe there'll be some guys in stasis, they can wake them up. There were bots on the ship, but they were not in stasis, they were all dead. And as Ratchet and Prime are investigating to see, you know, why all these robots are dead, you know, Ratchet discerns that, hey, they're dead because they had the plague. And so they're like, hey, it's a virus. It could still be alive in the Energon. Don't touch it. And, of course, through an accident, the ship kind of gets shaken around, and, you know, one of the dead robots kind of flops over the edge of a railing, and some, you know, Energon drips out onto Prime, and so he catches the plague.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And, yeah, so we see how Prime catches the plague. But again, at this point, we're still, well, what's this got to do with the word mind? Okay, Prime is sick. And this is where I think the episode gets really interesting. You want to take over from there, Daron, and give your thoughts on...
Well, yeah. You know, you kind of gave the backstory on the episode. What I liked about this episode is it kind of made you think the episode was going to go one way, and then about a third of the way through it, you're like, okay, no, that's not what we're going to do. You know, I thought this was going to be one of those episodes where Prime is on the brink of death, which it is, but, you know, I thought they were going to do something else, you know, and the Decepticons were going to try to stop them. You know, there was like some kind of element or something other. It, you know, kind of harken back to a G1 episode.
Prime's trying to find a cure.
Yeah, Prime's on his deathbed, and they've got to go find some kind of element that might take care of the Cybonic Plague, and the Decepticons get in the way. No, they totally did something different. They made it to where Megatron had engineered the Cybonic Plague, and he was the only one that knew the cure. And, well, oh, lo and behold, Megatron is dead. No, wait, he's not dead. He's merely in stasis. Let's hack into his mind. And seeing the interactions between him and Bumblebee in the twisted mind of Megatron on Kaon in the Decepticon capital city, that was really cool. And I don't know if you really noticed, but the Kaon that they represented in the series looked a whole lot like the Kaon did in War for Cybertron, the video game. It kind of resembled it a lot. I mean, I don't know if they intended for it to be like a continuation of War for Cybertron. Do you recall?
Well, we've heard. Initially, they said this was supposed to be the same continuity as War for Cybertron, but that's very loose because there are already huge continuity errors, like the whole discovery of Dark Energon. But I think it's when they say same continuity, they don't necessarily mean the story continuity. It's in like the same universe where they have kind of like the way the G1 cartoon and comic were in the same universe, but they weren't really in continuity with each other. And I think that's what they mean by these new ones are on the same continuity. They have a lot of the same elements, like the fact that Dark Energon exists. So I'm sure Kaon, I'm sure it's not a coincidence that those look very similar, because, again, they're trying to play off these are all in the same universe. They're going to have a lot of the same elements.
Yeah. But I think the interactions between Megatron and Bumblebee, like you, I totally agree. Having Bumblebee beep and boop throughout the whole episode, it loses a lot. It kind of reminds me of watching an old Lassie episode. What's that, Lassie? You say somebody's fell down a well? Okay, you know, roof, roof, you know.
Bumblebee is Lassie.
Yeah. RC is also central in this episode. Shows how strong she is. You know, I mean, it takes a lot of guts to break in just you and a scout into a Decepticon stronghold and not knowing what you're going to find, you know, and then improvising with what you do find. I thought that was a really powerful episode for not only Bumblebee, but also RC.
Yeah, they're really building up RC for how rough and tough she is. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's pretty cool. But, at the same time, I'm feeling like, okay, we get it. She's rough and tough. Now, you know, let's see some Bulkhead action. We're not really getting a lot on Bulkhead.
I kind of suspect Bulkhead's going to come down the road, you know, something pretty strong later on. I also liked it was there was something about this episode too that I liked and also disliked.
Okay, what was the dislike?
The dislike was the fact that they are using the line "one shall stand, one shall fall." They're using that almost as a cliche now. It seems like every Transformers series, be it animated or Prime, somebody they're using "one shall stand, one shall fall." Okay, yeah, it's a cool line, but you know, whenever I think of G1, that's not one of the lines that's like the top line.
Well, it's not even an over and over line. It was an epic line, but it's because it was the culmination of the whole story between Prime and Megatron being arch enemies for the 84 and 85 season. You get to the 86 movie, and it's like that comes to a head. And so that line was epic because Prime was saying, okay, all this time we've been battling, we always both go away from the battle to meet again. This is it. So it had some impact the first time it was used, but it gets overused, it loses the impact.
Well, it's for the reason, the nostalgic reason that I like the fact that they use this, but it's getting to where I think they're using it way too much.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, in this episode, when that line was used, it was used when they were in Megatron's mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was the projection of Prime that Megatron was putting out there that he then shot and killed.
Yeah.
I seem to notice, though, that a lot of, you know, we kind of, you know, Prime has a lot of instances where he comes across as being overly noble and stoic, even when he doesn't need to be in the series. To me, it was like a jab of humor towards that end, because this isn't really Optimus Prime. This is Megatron's projection of Optimus Prime. This is Optimus Prime as Megatron sees him.
Megatron's fantasy is what it is.
Yeah, so Megatron sees Prime as this Boy Scout goody two shoes always coming in like a white knight, you know, saying the epic lines like "one shall stand, one shall fall." So every time Prime would show up, you know, he always said something all epic and stoic like that, and then Megatron just quickly dispatches with him. Because I think, again, with Megatron's fantasy, Prime comes in like he's all this big superhero, but he's really nothing. Pow, one shot, he's dead. And so I think it was deliberate that Prime was being so stoic in this episode, because that was how Megatron sees him. And I thought that was pretty clever. I actually kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Because I think even at one point he's just talking to Bumblebee when he realizes he's not a projection. He's really the scout in his head. And then Prime kind of shows up like, "Megatron!" You know, like they're going to, you know, and then he just kind of shoots him to the side like it's no big deal. Like, "Pow, get out of my way." And still, even then, Prime was being all stoic.
Yeah. That also leads us to the very end of the episode with Bumblebee escaping from Megatron's mind. They're kind of off in a side room or a hidden area while they're linked, while Bumblebee's linked to Megatron. RC's kind of watching his back, and I think it's Soundwave that notices the connection, and Starscream follows it and discovers the two Autobots, and they narrowly escape and everything. Bumblebee has to disconnect rather hurriedly from Megatron's subconsciousness. But little did we know until the very end of the episode, Megatron escaped his subconscious mind into Bumblebee's mind. And it kind of leaves us with a cliffhanger. You know, Megatron, his consciousness is stuck inside of little old Bumblebee.
Well, I think even before you get to that part, I think you left out some really interesting story arc and character development between Starscream and Knockout. Because, you know, Knockout's like the doctor who's attending to Megatron. And all the while this is going on, we see... Because you remember a couple episodes back, you know, Starscream was trying to get Knockout to refer to him as Lord Starscream. He just kept calling him Commander.
That's true.
And, you know, Knockout sees an opportunity here. He says, hey, you know, Soundwave is like the eyes and ears of the Decepticons. He sees what Starscream's trying to do. He knows Starscream wants to take command. He knows he wants Megatron out of the way, but he knows that Soundwave is watching him. So we get to see a little treacherous side of Knockout. He basically is like, hey, Starscream, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. You know, I'll help you out taking care of Soundwave, get him out of the way if you'll help me out and make me your second in command. And as they're working out the deal, he kind of smiles and says, you know, I'll be your second in command, Lord Starscream. And so they're going to kind of work together to...
he is a Decepticon, so...
yes, but it's like they're going to work together to get rid of Megatron, and as well as to get rid of Soundwave, get him out of the picture as well. And of course, it all backfires when, you know, because the Autobots were there and were in Megatron's mind, and Soundwave noticed the cable, and so their plan went kind of kaput. But as they were escaping, RC takes one last shot. You know, Ratchet opens the ground bridge. As they get ready to jump through, she shoots to knock off the life support cable from Megatron. Of course, little did they know, Megatron was no longer in the body, so it wouldn't have killed him anyway. But, you know, she shoots it loose, and Starscream was just going to leave it loose. Like, oh, well, he's dead. And Soundwave, you know, pretty much just pointed and made them hook it back up. And then, of course, they noticed no brainwave activity because it was in Bumblebee. But I was really intrigued by the interaction between Starscream and Knockout in that episode. It was very interesting to see Knockout, and, you know, he's just kind of been bucking the authority of Starscream. And it's like he kind of realized, well, you know what? I could rank further up the Decepticons if I help Starscream than what I can if I just stay loyal to Megatron. Because I'm always going to be no better than number three because Soundwave's around.
Well, it's always good to see Decepticons be very Decepticon-y.
Be deceptive.
Be Decepticon-y.
I mean, you don't think they call them Decepticons because they're deceptive, do you, Chip?
No.
Well, I know that would just be retarded.
But the very end of the episode where it's revealed that Megatron is inside of Bumblebee's head sets up the next episode, which is, I believe, entitled Out of His Mind. And I would assume it's going to further the story arc with Bumblebee housing the intellect of the Decepticon leader Megatron.
Yes, so. The Hub has put up the preview clip on their YouTube channel. So that is exactly what the next episode is about. Megatron's consciousness is, you know, trying to overtake Bumblebee.
And it'll be interesting to see where this goes. I mean, it's an interesting twist. I mean, I don't think they've ever really pursued this kind of twist. I mean, I think the closest we came to a Transformer inside of another Transformer doing stuff was Microbots from G1, I guess. Well, you had
Possession, and then you had Starscream possessing, you know, Scourge.
Well, that's a spirit possessing somebody, but I'm talking about the mind or something inside of somebody. It's kind of like one of those out of body experiences. You know, Autobot Spike. That was kind of cool. You know, I thought, you know, this is somewhere the Transformers had never been before, but, you know, upon reflection, I guess it is somewhere Transformers have been.
Yeah, they're robots, and, you know, you download one program and upload another, and boom.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where they go with this. Well, I don't have anything more. Do you have anything further about this episode?
I was just going to say, do you think Bumblebee will tell Megatron, I don't want you inside me?
I don't know, but it would be really cool if out of this they were able to get Bumblebee to actually speak.
That would be neat.
Yeah. What's Megatron going to do? Beep and boop his way into the Decepticon headquarters?
Well, maybe that's exactly how they will know it's Megatron when he actually speaks.
Is it me, or does Bumblebee just sound like, whenever he talks, sound like a digitized fart?
I kind of thought he sounded like R2-D2.
He kind of sounds like a mad R2, or...
He's an R2-D2 without the whistles. Because R2-D2 beeps and whistles. Bumblebee just beeps.
Yeah. I don't care for it. But I believe that'll do it for this episode of Geek Existence Transformers. We hope to see you next week. And again, check us out on iTunes and be sure to rate us on there. Let us know how you think. And also post on the forums. We'd like to see some cool pics in the Transformers Cool Pics thread. And I believe that'll do it.
Thanks for listening.
See you next week. You've been listening to Geek Existence Transformers, a member of the GeekExistence.com family of podcasts. Check out our website at www.geekexistence.com, where you'll find information about our other podcasts in the family. There you'll find links and also a forum to discuss this podcast and others like it, as well as many other things geek. Interact with us on Twitter. Be sure to follow us, twitter.com/geekexistence. Also, search us out on Facebook. Here you can leave us messages as well as listen to each podcast as we publish them. Last but not least, be sure to subscribe to us and rate us on iTunes. Your feedback not only helps us stand out among other podcasts, but tells us what you like and dislike about us so that we may make our podcasts even better. Your hosts for Geek Existence Transformers has been Deron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf, and Greg Metcalf, a.k.a. Insane Galvatron. Thank you for listening, and join us next week for another episode of Geek Existence Transformers.